You notice throughout Iskon and also throughout India that deities, they'll look very different in different places.
What?
Deities can, the features will look different on each deity, and some fairly drastically different. Is this due to our imperfect vision?
The deities look different.
Yeah, so say Krishna deity can look one way, one place, and then a different place. So Krishna can be looking.
But obviously they look differently, don't they? Just because they look differently doesn't mean that they're not Krishna. Just like throughout your life you look differently, but you're still the same person. So Krishna also looks differently. Sometimes he expresses different moods. Even when you're the same age, when you look angry, you look one way, you look happy, you look another. When you're sleepy, you look something else. So also Krishna has unlimited details of expression, and all of those come out in his deity, different deity forms. But still, regardless of how he looks, whenever people walk in the temple, they all say there's Krishna.
Once a new bat is coming along, and the question obviously comes up on they're wanting to start aspiring for a guru, take an initiation, and the standard response is that it's the person you take most shiksha from. Obviously in practice then there's not a resident initiating guru in Wales. The person we take most shiksha from being Tarakanath Guru. Visiting gurus who come maybe, and then even when they come they might not take so much or any instruction from them. So what would be the advice on how to search out the correct guru for them without making a sentimental choice?
Then we have to recognize that those spiritual master, you would correspond with someone, but there's also a limit as to how much someone's capable of corresponding. So just the expectation should be reasonable. And the foundations of having the faithful, strong relationship with local leaders, that should be there. That's all right. What else do you do? It should be a personal choice. It's like getting married. Ultimately, any man or any boy will do. Any man or any girl will do. But we see that that's not practically the case. Otherwise, there's not a real good sense of compatibility that we end up divorcing. That's how Vedic marriage is. You know, the children are very small. They don't even have the ability to be attractive to each other. But the parents have already married them. Prabhupada gives the example in Bengal. Boys and girls, they get married like when they're around 8 years old. Prabhupada, in one talk, he gives this lecture about how actually he was the president of India. He was sleeping at night and his parents woke him up and says, now you're going and getting married. And they dressed him up and he was sleepy and they took him and the girl's probably like 6 or 5 years old, and they had this preliminary marriage ceremony, and of course they went back. The child didn't know what was going on, but from that point on he understood that he was married, and she understood that she was married, and gradually, as they matured, they associated with each other, and whatever they looked like, that's what it was, and that's how marriage took place. Similarly, the guru was the local Kula guru, who's the guru in the village. That's who people would take initiation from. But just like nowadays in Kali Yuga, you can't just tell someone you got married when you were 8 years old, even if you don't remember it, and here's your husband and wife. They don't buy into that anymore, unfortunately. So they need to be able to choose. They should choose based on appropriate parameters. Western idea is that you have to fall in love first and then you marry someone, or you have to be attracted to someone first and then. And the Indian system is that you, by association, you develop an attachment.
that's all I have for now, pretty much.